saying yes in the next 30 minutes is going to change your life. Leaning forward. Go ahead and take it down for right now. Thank you. Leaning forward is what we spoke about in our last time when I was here with you. But we make a choice to worship, to sing, to pray. You made a choice here this morning to be here, to celebrate His presence and be in the Word of God. And He changes everything. Come on, I said He changes everything. What you say, saying yes to Jesus in the next 30 minutes is going to transform your life. Say yes. Yes. Say yes. Yes. Now, some of us work with contracts all day long. In real estate, several of us here are real estate people. You get 15 to 24 pages, and sometimes even more, sometimes fewer, but not often, even more, with all the terms, all the contingencies, all the addendums. And so when you say yes to Jesus, it's like He hands you one page, and He says, sign here. And sometimes people go, well, wait, I haven't read the terms. And Jesus said, sign here. And I'll guide you, and I'll lead you, and I'll fill in every term. But you see, sign it away to me, and I'll make your life worth living. And He does, and He is, and He knows what to do. Saying yes in the next 30 minutes is going to literally change your life if you'll just go ahead and sign here. Wait a minute. I don't sign anything without reading the fine print. Oh, okay. Here you go. The Bible tells us He places His word above His name. He's never going to do anything contrary to His word. He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. He's going to forgive you, deliver you, strengthen you, help you, give you peace, hope, help, just like He has all morning long, because He's a great God who went to the cross for you, died, was buried, and rose again, and He ever lives, the Bible says, to pray for you and to make intercession. Do you know Jesus is praying for you right now? So, how can you go wrong? Sign here. And when you do, you go on a great ride. I'm going to tell you more about a great ride last week that I had. I had several great rides. Have any of you ever been to those water parks and those long tubes? I absolutely love it. Go shooting into that river of water, around she goes, and then it goes to a dark part of the tunnel, goes even faster, and you come shooting out the other end, and I come out with a 27-acre grin. The only bad part is having to climb all the way up those steps to do it again. One of the most remarkable women who ever lived is Harriet Tubman. Now, the movie Harriet depicts her life. I'm going to just say something very simply to you. This is me. Fine. But I'm going to recommend to you. There's the Academy Award winner for this year. If you have not seen this movie, I urge you, watch the movie Harriet. It is a drama. It's not easy. It's not light. But it is literally a powerful movie of a true story of faith. And too often in our lives, we haven't even heard of this woman. This is one of the most incredible women that have ever lived in America. Ever. She does have a day in her honor, March 10. Many people don't even know anything about it. It was established in 1990. But it depicts her life in this movie. A slave who followed God in a passion to be free and to enjoy her freedom. Either give me freedom or let me die. She made her way miraculously 100 miles to freedom as she ran away as a slave. But she wasn't content to just live in her own freedom, because she began to go back to bring others, family members and other slaves, to escape from the tyranny, despotic, horrific sin of racism and slavery. One of the best lines in the movie is when she says, "It is not right, it is not of God for any man to own another man." It's sin, as we are all here to respond to the Lord. And she did. The Underground Railroad, she was involved first in 100-mile journeys, and then they passed other laws to stop the slaves. You could arrest a slave in any of the states. And so they began to go up to Canada, a 600-mile journey, done on foot, done over rivers, having to fight through areas of snakes and things. And she basically would come into a place where she saw visions, and she would collapse on the ground, and God would speak to her heart and say, "There's danger in this direction, go in another direction." She couldn't read. Personally, she brought at least 70 families and individuals out of that tyranny of slavery into freedom. When the Civil War began, she worked for the Union Army, first as a cook and nurse, then as an armed scout and spy. She was the first woman to lead an armed expedition in the war. She guided the raid at Combahee Ferry. It's probably pronounced somewhat differently than that. But she liberated there, and her soldiers liberated more than 700 slaves. This is an incredible story you should know about. When others told her it couldn't be done, she said, "Oh, really?" One man looked at her and said, "I forbid you, it's too dangerous." She said, "Excuse me? If God got me out, God's going to lead me to do the rest." She changed history. Do you know why? Because she said yes to God. You're life changers in this place. You're absolutely called by God to change other lives. "You know, I can't do that. I'm retired." Well, then get refired. "I'm too young." She ran away as a slave girl. She finally died, I think, about the age of 91 or 93 in 1913. She changed lives. You're a life changer. Turn to each other and say, "You are a life changer." How? By saying yes. By saying yes. Now, I want to take a look at a few pictures. And we were talking a couple of weeks ago about leaning in. But look at the leaning in. We were talking about it for football. Did your team win? Okay, nobody even remembers the Super Bowl. So on we go. On we go to a track event. And leaning in has never been seen more powerfully as it has in track. How many ever ran track? Ran track, okay. Your coach, short sprints? Anybody short sprints? What was your meet? 400, okay. Who else? 100-yard dash, anybody? Half mile? Mile? Laura? What was that? I'm sorry. There you go. Okay, Mark, 2 miles? 5 miles? How many? Okay, long distance, 10 miles? Jerry has told me, regaled me with stories of his running days. It's amazing. So the point is, there's a race you run. And you prepare and you train for it and you lean in. These guys are leaning in. Now, they're sprinters, but you lean. How many were ever told by your coach, "You swing all the way through with your baseball or with your golf swing. Swing all the way through. Run all the way through the tape. You don't get up to the end zone as a football runner and you slow down." I'm concerned about every player that ever does that. Man, oh man, that's when you get caught by the other side and you get brought down, you fumble and you go the wrong way and you lose the game. You know, games are lost in a matter of seconds or minutes or moments. But here, we're taught in life as well in Jesus to lean in and run all the way through. Break the tape. Come on, say it with me. Break the tape. Don't go casual into life. Break the tape in life. Run forward no matter what your age, no matter what you're doing. Somebody said, "I can't do anything." Well, then you can pray. Who ever saw War Room? War Room. You ever saw War Room? Man, that grandma was a praying grandma. How many are here because you had a praying grandma or a mom? Or a dad who forced you to go to church. No, anyway. But the pray us in and you lean forward all the way through the tape and you go all the way because God's got a calling through you as a life changer. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. You can turn to that section of Scripture. I'm not going to put them up here besides the references. I want you to see it in your own Bible, in your phone text, whatever it is. We have Bibles in the back. But Philippians chapter 3, you can write the references down. Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14. Philippians 3, 12 through 14, literally one of my favorite sections of Scripture. He says, I press on, Paul says, that I may lay hold of that for which I was apprehended. For which Jesus has laid hold of me, it says, verse 12. Verse 13, brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Say that with me. But one thing I do. Say it again. One thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press. Come on, say that. I press toward the goal. For the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. How many ever ran relay races? Anybody? Okay, a few of you did. You had to pass the baton. You had to stretch out your hand. The other person had to have their hand stretched out. In fact, that other person is going to receive the baton, has to be in running position in order to receive the baton and keep the winning race going. Says, I press toward the goal. Paul uses metaphors and pictures to help us see it. And you know, there's the shadow boxer in Paul's writings. And I don't just beat, you know, the air. And then there's wrestlers in Scripture and there's runners in Scripture, Olympian and Corinthian games. And they all ran for this leafy garland that they would wear as a winner of the race. But the Bible says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in who? Christ Jesus. Who's your prize? Turn to each other and say, my prize is Jesus. How about you? I'm going to give you several points as we quickly speed through this morning. Number one, choose your race. Say it with me. Choose your race. What's your event? By the way, God has chosen your race for you. The Bible tells us we're called, chosen, and faithful. That's what He's looking for. You're favored of the Lord. That was even shared this morning. You're His. He's invested in you. He's put Himself in you. He's put Himself in me. He knows the gifts He's put in you. He knows how He's developed you, your capabilities. He has you in His hands. You're life changers. Say it with me. I am a life changer. He knows your age. He knows your times. Your times are in His hands. The Bible says, Psalm 31:15, my times are in your hands. Out of the Passion, it says, my life, every moment, my destiny, it's all in your hands. Isaiah 49:16 says, I've inscribed you, I've engraved you in the palm of my hands. So tell me, how far away can you get from Jesus if He's inscribed you? How many in this room, don't be embarrassed, how many have tattoos? A few of you, just a couple of you. Put your hands down, the rest of you, what's wrong with you? Yeah, chicken, yeah, chicken, right? Exactly. Oh, well, you got the few of you who have tats you didn't admit to, the memories are now coming back now, see? Oh, yeah, I got that. I don't want to talk about that.
Mine is a wedding.
Oh, okay.
Well done. I forgot about that.
But if it's been inscribed on you, it ain't leaving. The sad thing is some people get things inscribed on them when they're really nice and muscular and they're young. Later in life, it starts to sag, and it's a real sad story. Esther 4:14. This is an orphan girl. You go, what can I do? I'm an orphan. Esther was an orphan girl. She was raised by her cousin. Her family was taken into captivity into Babylon. I'm an immigrant. I'm a captive. What can I do? I can't do anything. I'm just a poor orphan girl. And God raised her up to be queen of an entire nation and saved the Jewish nation from devastation in the Persian capital. What can an orphan do? Anything God wants you to do, God can do. Young or old, God knows you. What are your spiritual goals, church? What's your next step? What are your next steps of faith? If you're here and you're retired, wake to the reality that you mostly have, that it's not just retiring, just you and Jesus walking down the road, being blessed forever. That's a good thing. But he wants to bless others through you. I want to say again, I really want to urge you. I want to urge all of us. We have heard this morning testimony after testimony of the answers to prayer. I want you to join God's intercessory army. Join God's intercessory army. He is raising up an army, and waging warfare is not easy, light, trite business. There are people to be prayed for, and there are nations to see delivered. There's a United States of America that needs you on your knees praying and crying out to God. The answers aren't in politics, folks. How many can say a big amen to that? The answers are in our Lord Jesus Christ, an awakening in America, an outpouring of His Holy Spirit, and God's people need to pray. Come on, say I'm one of those. Yes to God. I'm one of those. Jesus is the one who gives you the specifics. Some of you look at me this morning and go, I don't know what he's called me to do. Jesus is the one who gives you the specifics. I'm going to say it to you very simple. I'm going to give you just five quick little steps. If you'll do these five quick little steps, you'll find you begin to hear some of the specifics from the Lord. Number one, I want you to set apart a place. In that movie, War Room, the grandma had a little closet she cleared out. I want you to set aside a place where you can quietly sit quietly with pen and paper in hand. Sit there quietly or take your computer, whatever it is. But I find pen and paper work far better for my purposes. I don't lose it in the virtual space. Anyway, but sit quietly with pen and paper. I urge you. Turn off the TV, turn off the live stream, turn off the music choice, and just be quiet with Jesus. Sing a worship song. Number two, sing a worship song. Pick a song. You go, I can't sing. It's okay. Make a joyful noise. Just noise it out. Sing it. Sing it to Jesus. Tell him you love him and sing a song. Then sing it again. And if it didn't sound good enough to you, sing it again. Sing that worship song. Don't rush. Stay there. Quietly, pen and paper. Sing a song of worship to the Lord. Number three, ask Him. Okay, Jesus, what's my next step? What's the next step for my life? What do you want from me? Number four, write it down. Write down what you hear. I don't know the voice of God. Well, write down the thoughts that come to your heart. For many of you, for most of you, those thoughts might sound like your own voice. Conscience, directions, thoughts. You might even stop and a thought go through and you go, wow, where'd that come from? Well, if it didn't tell you to jump off the Empire State Building or go kill somebody, that's definitely not from God. You're getting anything like that before you do it, come see us, would you? We'd love to pray for you. But usually it's not that kind of prompting you're going to get. You might hear something like, you need to know that I love you, and now you need to go tell that to your sister or your brother. Or you need to reach out and forgive that person. And Jesus will begin to prompt you and lead you. And Jesus will show you some next steps. He's the one who gives you the specifics. I can't give you the specifics. Jesus does. And then I want to give you a fifth simple point. Okay, would you do this? Follow the prompts. Follow the prompts. We were with Pastor Phil and Pastor Kerry going through Houston traffic. And Pastor Sherry's sitting in the back end, she's sitting back in the way back in the baggage compartment. No, she's sitting in the back seat with Pastor Kerry, and she's got sleep bands on, trying everything to relax, because Well, anyway, just the car was a little erratic, and we were in rush hour traffic. And I'm sitting up in the front, and my GPS on my phone was not working well. Another phone was handed to me, and three of our phones all conked out at the same time. We're in downtown traffic, rush hour, we're getting through Houston, and all of a sudden it goes, okay, and I'm up there, and I actually enjoy this stuff. Okay, 1.2 miles, turn right on this road. Bam, 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 I'm guiding him through, and Phil's kind of an anxious kind of guy. He's going, where am I going? Okay, go follow 1.2 miles, and, you know, and then we have to turn on West 8th. Anybody know West 8th in Houston? Jim, no? Okay. All right, so West 8th, right at the same time as you can make a choice, West 8th. Or East 8th. Life comes down to two choices sometimes. 0.2 mile, West 8th. Come right up to the road, and I go, okay, a little while back, I go, West 8th, 0.2 mile. We come right up there, and Phil's going, turn here, okay. So we went 12 miles out of our way, and we're in a hurry to get to the airport. So I got replaced. Pastor Kerry took the phone, read the instructions the rest of the way, and I'm sitting in the front seat going. Anybody knows me? I'm fairly competitive. And I'm sitting there thinking all sorts of Christian thoughts like, I will never ride with you again. Never. Never. Never ride with you again. She's calling off the instructions, and I want to turn around and go, you're doing it just like I did it. What's the difference? Only this time we got to the airport. But you got to follow the prompts. What I needed to do, I've repented in dust and ashes, is yell right back, no, not here! But I didn't do that in time. So 12 miles later, I learned I needed to follow the prompt a little quicker. But you know, your GPS unit guides you, and we'll give it more creed than we do the voice of God speaking to our spirits. How many times have you heard the Lord say, you need to forgive that person. You need to go see them, or call your friend, call your pastor and say, I know you're a jerk, but I forgive you. Whatever you need to do, follow the prompts. I was hoping you'd say, aw. But you see, he chooses the race. He'll speak to you. All right, number two, commit to your race. You got to commit to the race. You got to commit to it. In school, you knew what was next. You matriculated through the grades. Or if you left school early for many multiple purposes, maybe school didn't go well, you had to do work in your family, whatever, maybe you got a GED later, but you knew what was next. Right up to graduation, maybe you went into military, career, maybe your family. But what now? Paul was somebody who had to wait on God. He was healed. He was baptized. He got knocked off his animal, remember? And then he had to go to town, wait on God. He was blind. He couldn't see. And the Lord spoke to him and said, a guy named Annas is going to come, or Ananias is going to come, and he's going to pray for you, and you're going to find out your next steps. And bam, it happened just like God told him. And you know what Paul did? Paul was up and running. One of the most brilliant people who ever lived. He went after breaking the tape in his life. Are you with me? He waited on God. He didn't say, I'm too old, I'm too Jewish, I'm too much of a Pharisee, I can't make this change. Change is too hard for me, I can't do it. He didn't do that. He said, okay, Lord, if this is the new direction, I'm yours. He said, Jesus said, what did he say? Sign here. Paul said, that's a lot different than what I thought it was going to be, but okay, give me the paper. Paul the Apostle, I signed it. No, he didn't say it that way. But he signed. He said, okay. That's what we do. Listen to his heart. 11 through 13 of Philippians chapter 3 out of the Passion. I love this. My passion is to be consumed with him. I admit that I haven't yet acquired. This is Philippians 3, 11 through 13 out of the Passion. I admit I haven't yet acquired the absolute fullness that I'm pursuing, but I run with passion into his abundance so that I may reach the purpose Jesus Christ has called me to fulfill and wants me to discover. I run with passion to fulfill his heart. I do have one compelling focus. I do have one compelling focus, Paul says. I forget the past, and I reach forward to what's ahead. Every one of you, we all of us could line up in this room and spend hours talking all about our past and the inglorious things we did, because we did stupid stuff. If you can't admit you did stupid stuff, I don't know what to do for you. I can just say to you, okay, then share in some of mine. Here's mine. But you know, that's not going to edify you. I'm here to tell you, you can be forgiven of all that stupid stuff. You can reach forward to your future, because Jesus has great things for you. I run with passion. I forget what's behind. I reach for what's forward. Give it your all. Come on, I said, give it your all. Somebody say it with me. Give it my all. We learn, we grow, we change, we improve, we engage, and then we do it all over again. I made a mistake once in 1942 when I tried to share Jesus with somebody. I haven't tried it again since. Time to give it your all. Get up and get going. Give it your all. Passionately embrace the discipline, because we have devotions and disciplines in this Christian walk. Prayer and worship and in the Word and reading the Word and being together, meditating on the Word of God and fellowshipping together. Don't deny the gathering of the saints. And we gather together and we practice. Man, when you're on a track team, you run sprints, you run relays, you run races, and then you do it again. And you run and you run and you run, and then you do it again. So you get better. Talk to people about Jesus, just like you were saying. Talk to people about Jesus, or just be Jesus to them. And then maybe they'll inquire of you and say, what makes you tick different than everybody else? His name is Jesus. It's not the great hamburger I just had. His name is Jesus. Number four, win your race. Whoops. Commit to your race. Number three was run your race. And I read those scriptures, so I'm running right ahead and skip my point. So run your race. And then number four, win your race. Paul said he beat his body to bring it into submission to attain. Run the race to attain the prize. Jesus, think like Jesus. Think his thoughts. Think like Jesus. Be a Jesus winner. I'm forgiven. I'm delivered. I'm set free. I don't have the past on my shoulders anymore. If you're here this morning and you've not surrendered your life to Jesus, so you know you're forgiven of your past, I'm here to tell you, Jesus loves you so much. Give your past to him and let him give your future to you. The future in Jesus. Reckon on the Word of God. Believe the Word of God. He says so many great things. Listen, just rehearse the prophecies this morning. Wasn't that great what he said over and over and over again? You sit there and you go, man, Lord, I love you. You love us this much? Hey, I love you. We think of those things. Jesus wins this race in you and through you. Win your race. And I want to tell you, each of us have an opportunity. If you say yes to Jesus, might make a mistake, might need to be forgiven. Thank God for his grace. Run to win your race and leave a legacy. Say it with me. Leave a legacy. You got people watching you. People are looking at you. You're one of those Christians. They might even say it with more foul tone than that. You're Christian. They're watching. How do you respond when it gets tough? How do you respond in times of blessing? Or your kid's sick, or your grandkids or lost their way. How do you respond? Maybe you're hurting. Maybe you have tears coming down your face. And you say, how do I respond? I just surrender again to Jesus. And I ask Him to hold them and hold us. And I love these people who need Him. Can you all do that? Leave a legacy. Run through the tape. Don't back off into life just eating bonbons for the rest of your days. Run through the tape. What's He called me to do today? How can I please You today, Lord? Who can I show Jesus to today? 2 Timothy 4 verse 7 says, if we will, look at what Paul said. He's waiting in a jail as he's absolutely poured his life out. I've been to that jail, the Mamertine prison in Rome. One of the most moving experiences I've ever had. This dark, damp, carved out hunk of rock that they turned into a jail and threw Paul into. And in that section of Scripture, or toward the end of his life, you see Paul saying, you know, bring me the parchments. I want to read basically the Word of God. Bring me the parchments. I want to keep reading the Word even while I'm here. And you know, he sent out letters. And, oh yeah, bring John Mark with you, the guy he rejected or who left them earlier in the journey. He said he didn't want anything to do with him ever again. He said, oh, by the way, at the end of my life, you know, bring John Mark with you. He's good for us in the ministry. Because what happened with John Mark is Peter took him under his wing and helped John Mark change his life. But Paul finishes, I'd like you to read this with me, would you? I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. As you do, you're going to break the tape in your own life. Run all the way through. Run it all the way through. Finish well. And then you'll be able to say, along with Paul, out of the passion, 1 Peter 5 says, when the shepherd king appears, you'll win the victor's crown of glory. That's not some leaves on your head, but it's glory that never fades away as you find Jesus as your Lord and shepherd, knowing that you've served Him and done what He's called you to do. Church, break the tape. I'm literally, in my daily walk with Jesus, I'm saying, oh God, open my eyes to see You fresh. Open my ears to hear You in a fresh way. God, let Your heart beat inside of me and show us, Lord, show us the next steps so we can run after You with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength and reach this world for Jesus, because we are living in a dark and dying world where people need Him and need fresh hope and they need life. And how are they going to find Him? Through ambassadors for Him that are breaking the tape and running every day with all their strength after Jesus. Now, I said to you 30 minutes ago, if you'll say yes to Jesus in 30 minutes, your life will transform. Would all of you who are saying yes to Jesus, please stand with me. Musicians, will you come? If you're here this morning and you've not surrendered your life to Jesus, this is your day. It's a great day to give your heart to Jesus. He loves you so much. If you have, and maybe you said, I don't know, I can't hear from God, I'm going to not try anymore. Well, you just need to say, Lord, forgive me, I'm sorry for that discouragement, but help me hear You, Lord. If maybe you've slacked back a bit in your walk and race, maybe it's time to say, here I am, Lord. I'm signing the document again. I'm going to sign my name right here, Lord. I'm signing it. You fill in the terms you want. I'm saying yes to Jesus. Is that your prayer this morning? Let's pray. Lord, we come to You this morning with our full hearts. We love You and we thank You. And we thank You that we get with our lives this one life to live. Just one. Whether short or long, full or disappointing, we get this one life. And Lord, we We sign it right now. We sign your contract right now. Come on, say that with me. I sign your contract right now, Lord. I say yes to you, Jesus. Oh God, take my life. Go ahead, pray with me, church. Lord, take my life. Make it what you want it to be. Help me to live for your purpose and your glory in all my days. Oh Lord, we sell out to you. Again, Lord, I say yes to you. Amen. 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 We're going to finish with a song as we finished our worship list this morning. What you're doing this morning is giving your life to Him as a fresh act of worship. So we're going to finish with an act of worship. Now, if the Lord has spoken to your heart and you want to take time up in this front area, I know that our elders, we got Jerry and Penny and Dean and Paula and Pat and Vern, they'll come up and pray for you. Chris, if you'll join them as well. And if you others want to come on up and pray, that's fine. But we're here to encourage each other in the race. So I want you to leave built up knowing with a fresh expectancy that Jesus is going to meet you in great ways this week. How many believe that?
Yes.
He's going to meet you, and He's going to work through you. Raise your hands for the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, they all said,
Amen.
Amen. Have a fantastic day in the Lord. Amen.